Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
The culmination of the months-long Boston Marathon bombing trial takes place in Boston Federal Court today. About two dozen people are scheduled to one by one tell convicted Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev what his crimes did to them and their families. But, as WBUR's David Boeri reports, the so-called victim impact statements will have no effect on the sentence.
In federal court in virtually all states, crime victims have the right to be reasonably heard before sentencing. The first intent of so-called victim impact statements is to inform a judge of the true extent of harm that has been done by the defendant.
No one in the courtroom except the victim knows the exact impact of that crime. No one faced the defendant in the moment other than the victims.
Meg Garvin directs the National Victim Law Institute in Portland, Oregon. She says the right to be heard reflects the recognition, evolving from the victims' rights movement of the 1980s, that victims or their survivors, no less than defendants, are entitled to participate in sentencing. And the best way to do that is to let them speak.
We have to hear from the victim. We just have to.
At today's hearing, two dozen people are expected to deliver their statements to the court and to Tsarnaev himself. Every aspect of the trial so far tells us their statements will vibrate with pain, grief, and images of horror. But none of that will or can change Tsarnaev's sentence. Judge George O'Toole will be no more than the black-robed conveyor of the jury's decision back on May 15th that Tsarnaev should die.
We know that it can't affect the sentence, so this whole notion that it's for information for the sentencing judge is off the table.
Susan Bandes teaches law at DePaul University and studies the role of emotion in law. And because those victim impact statements cannot affect the sentencing, she says, they will reflect other rationales for giving impact statements, which the courts have never spoken to, but which have become widely accepted.
It seems that they're being very specifically billed as an opportunity for the victims' families and the victims to try for this sort of cathartic or healing effect and to face the defendant, look him in the eye and tell him how they feel.
Victim impact statements are widely viewed as therapeutic, participating in the system of justice, telling the story of your victimization, and having people listen, advocates say, can teach you how to move forward with your life. Liz Norden, the mother of two grown sons who each lost a leg in the Marathon bombings, is a case in point.
But it will do me justice, and just nobody understands or could even pretend to understand the hell that we've gone through from that day. I want to let people know.
Norden says she's been advised by the U.S. Attorney's Office to keep it to about 5 minutes. Her two sons won't be speaking. J.P. and Paul Norden, who were roofers before they became amputees, have stayed away from the trial, which illustrates how survivors have responded differently.
They've accepted it, and they, you know, are ready to move on. They are not fixated on what happened to them, and I am.
On the witness stand during Tsarnaev's trial, Roseanne Sedoya made the affecting observation that people take their knee joints for granted. When you lose your leg above the knee, she said, you end up walking side to side, like she does, rather than straight ahead on your prosthetic.
I won't lie. I mean, every day has its challenges, and having to wear a prosthetic completely sucks.
But Sedoya sees her blessings as well as the bad things that happened. She's even become a motivational speaker.
These are things that you go back and forth on, and you know, I don't know how to put that into a statement, nor do I want to waste the time to do that.
Sedoya's raw, crying testimony as a witness moved the jurors. But she does not see any therapy coming from the courtroom.
To me, it's just a waste of time. I will be there to support my fellow survivors that are making statements, but as far as I'm concerned, I think I've gotten everything that I could possibly get out of this. I think, you know, in all honesty, the only thing that could bring complete closure would be getting a new leg.
While the many impact statements won't affect the sentence, the survivors who took the stand as witnesses to testify about the impact of Tsarnaev's crimes during the penalty phase of his trial played a critical role in helping the prosecution convince the jury that Tsarnaev deserved nothing less than death. But federal and state courts prohibit victims from recommending a sentence in their impact statements. The irony is that key victim witnesses in this trial publicly called on the U.S. attorney and the attorney general to reach a plea deal that would put Tsarnaev in prison for life without the chance of parole or appeal. Only then, the victims argued, could they be spared from further impacts of the case that otherwise won't end. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Boeri.